All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Jesus Christ. Namo Mande ham Sri Guru Chita Padakam Lam Sri Guru and Vaishnavamstra Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sadhana Ravinatam Vitam Samsajiva Sadvatam Sadvitam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sadhana Bhavata Sri Vishakam Vitamstra Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 12, Rahukana converses with Jetabharata, Text 11. Janam visudam paramarta ekam anantaram twababhir brahma satyam prajakvasantam bhagavachtabhasamgyam tadvasudevam kavayo vadanti. Janam, the supreme knowledge. Visuddham, without contamination. Paramartham, giving the ultimate goal of life. Ekam, unified. Anantaram, without interior unbroken. Two, also. Abahi, without exterior. Brahma, the supreme. Satya, absolute truth. Pratyak, inner. Prashantam, the calm and peaceful supreme Lord. Worshipped by the yogis. Bhagavat Shabda Sangyam, known in the higher sense as Bhagavan, or full of all opulences. Yet, that, Vasudevam, Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudev, Kavayaha, the learned scholars, Vadanti, say. So the last few verses, Jetabharata has been talking about how the material world is an illusion. Illusion not in the sense that it has no existence, but illusion in the sense that it is not what it appears to be. It is something different than what it appears to be. We appear to be the doers, and we are not. The names and forms appear to be permanent, but they are not. And everything is ultimately just the combinations of material nature. So then one may ask, well, is there anything that is true? As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that of that which is true, it's permanent, and that which is false, it's temporary. So is there any permanent truth? I mean, something that's true for a moment is not true. So here Jetabharata is explaining what is the foundation of the illusion, from where the illusion comes, on whom it rests. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. What then is the ultimate truth? The answer is that non-dual knowledge is the ultimate truth. It is devoid of the contamination of material qualities. It gives us liberation. It is the one without a second, all-pervading and beyond imagination. The first realization of that knowledge is Brahman, Then Paramatma, the Supersoul, is realized by the yogis who try to see him without grievance. This is the second stage of realization. Finally, full realization of the same supreme knowledge is realized in the Supreme Person. All learned scholars describe the Supreme Person as Vasudeva, the cause of Brahman, Paramatma, and others. Purport. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, Yad Advaitam Brahma Upanishadi Tad Apyasya Tanuva. The impersonal Brahman effulgence of the Absolute Truth consists of the bodily rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ya Atman Tayami Purusha Iti So Shamsa Vibhasa. Vibhava. What is known as Atma and Antaryami, the Supersoul, is but an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shad Aishvaryai Purno Ya Iha Bhagavan Sa Swayam Ayam. What is described as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, complete with all six opulences, is Vasudeva. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not different from him. Great learned scholars and philosophers accept this after many, many births. Vasudevam Sarvamiti Sa Mahatma Sujura Lavaha. Bhagavad Gita 7:19. The wise man can understand that ultimately Vasudeva, Krishna, is the cause of Brahman and Paramatma, the Supersoul. Thus Vasudeva is Sarvakarna Karanam, the cause of all causes. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. The real tattva, absolute truth, is Bhagavan. But due to incomplete realization of the absolute truth, people sometimes describe the same Vishnu as impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma. Vedanti tattva vidas tattvam yajnanam avyayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabhite. Bhagavatam 2.11. From the very beginning, Srimad Bhagavatam says, Satyam Param Dhimahi. We meditate on the Supreme Truth. The Supreme Truth is explained here, in today's verse, as Jnanam Vishuddham Satyam. The Absolute Truth is devoid of material contamination and is transcendental to the material qualities. It gives all spiritual success and liberation from this material world. That Supreme Absolute Truth is Krishna, Vasudeva. There is no difference between Krishna's inner self and outward body. Krishna is Purna, the complete whole. There is no distinction between his body and soul as there is between ours. Sometimes so-called scholars, not knowing the constitutional position of Krishna, mislead people by saying that the Krishna within is different from the Krishna without. When Krishna says, Man mana bhava mad bhakto mad jaji mad namaskaru, so-called scholars advise the reader that it is not to the person Krishna to whom we must surrender, but the Krishna within. So-called scholars, Mayavadis, cannot understand Krishna with their poor fund of knowledge. One should therefore approach an authorized person to understand Krishna. The spiritual master has actually seen Krishna, therefore he can explain him properly. Tadvidhi pradipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinha. Bhagavad Gita 4:34. Without approaching an authorized person, one cannot understand Krishna. Janam Vishudam Paramartha Ekam. Anantaram Twa Bhavya Brahma Satyam Prachak Prashantam Bhagavach Chajasangam Tad Vasudevam Kavayo Vedanti. What then is the ultimate truth? The answer is that non-dual knowledge is the ultimate truth. It is devoid of the contamination of material qualities. It gives us liberation. It is the one without a second, all-pervading and beyond imagination. The first realization of that knowledge is Brahman. Then Paramatma, the Supersoul, is realized by the yogis who try to see him without grievance. This is the second stage of realization. Finally, full realization of the same supreme knowledge is realized in the Supreme Person. All learned scholars describe the Supreme Person as Vasudeva, the cause of Brahman, Paramatma, and others. So here Jed Bart is describing the difference between illusion and truth. And he's saying that truth doesn't have an inside or outside. It's not this or that. You know, in this illusory world, we describe things as this or that. It's this and it's not this. We describe ourselves in relation to others. I am this person's child. I am this person's parent. I am a citizen of this country. It's always, we have some relation. Otherwise, there's no meaning. There's no meaning to saying, I'm a daughter unless there's a mother. There's no meaning to saying, I'm a mother unless there's a child. And we're always saying, is it this or not this? And we have an inside and an outside. Our body is very different inside than it is outside. And we are different from our body. The body's changing, we remain the same. And the body's always changing. Our bodily form changes so dramatically that it is very difficult to say that we are the same person when we are 1 year old and when we are 80 years old. The difference is so great that there's no way by looking at the body, unless you look at something like fingerprints or DNA, that you know that it is the same person. So this is material identity, the illusion. But in the reality, it's not like that. Krishna is always Krishna. His form doesn't change, although he can assume many, many, many forms, ananta rupam. But each of these forms is an exhibition of simply a different mood or desire of his. I mean, here, when I have a different mood, I show a different feature. If I'm angry, so my skin gets red and my eyebrows go down, you know, clench my fist, just breathing. So I change a little in my feature. And when Krishna gets angry, he actually completely changes in his feature, becomes like Nrsimhadev. So depending on Krishna's mood, he exhibits various forms. Because for Krishna, there's no difference between his inside and outside. There's no difference between his mood and his form. It's not that Krishna is a soul with a body. Actually, even in our eternal position, we are also like that. In our eternal position, we are who we are. We are not in this duality. As a part and parcel of Krishna, we are also above this duality, above this relativity, happiness and distress and heat and cold and honor and dishonor and all of the things of this world. Oh, I like this, I don't like this in terms of my sense gratification. But there does exist an absolute reality that is also personal. And this is perhaps astonishing because generally one will think, well, the absolute reality, if it has no inside and no outside, if it has no duality, if it has no this and not this, if it is everything. Vasudevam sarvam iti. Vasudev, sarvam, everything, iti is. Vasudev is everything. Everything is Vasudev. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyaktamurti namatstani sarvabhutani nachahamte savastitaha. Krishna is everything and everything is Krishna. Yet, at the same time, Krishna is a person with a form and a personality and qualities and behavior. And you can say, here is Krishna's arm and here is not Krishna's arm. How is that possible? So this is beyond our ability to conceive in the limited material sphere. If here is Krishna's arm and here is not Krishna's arm, then it seems that there's again duality. Of course, Mother Yasoda found this in a very interesting way by trying to tie up little Krishna. Today we don't usually tie up our children. Sometimes you see people, when they go shopping, they have some like harness that they put on the child so the child won't run into the street and so forth. Or sometimes in a home, you have a little play area that has a like a little fence around it inside the house. We call it in America, we call it a playpen. Some way to restrain the child So Mother Yasoda was doing like that. She wanted to put like a little harness on Krishna and tie him up because he was causing a lot of mischief. And but she couldn't do it. She wasn't able to tie him up. I mean, she took all the ropes from her neighbors. You can imagine how long the rope must have been. It must have been many, many meters long. And just putting it around once, it wouldn't join together. And finally she was laughing. She just says, this is impossible. And Krishna was wearing, Krishna Chakravarti Thakur explains, Krishna is wearing a little belt that's around his waist. So on the one hand, Krishna has this little belt, and you can say, here's the beginning of Krishna's waist, and here's my hand, and then the space next to my hand is not there. You say, here's Krishna's waist, and the space next to his waist is not there, therefore he can wear a belt. But Mother Yasoda found also that his waist is everything and everywhere, because she couldn't put anything around it. And she didn't understand, because it appeared that he had a defined form. Of course, two other times, she looked within his mouth and she saw everything, including herself. And she didn't see a vision of herself or a picture of herself or reflection of herself. She actually saw herself. Now, how do you do that? How do you see yourself? How can you do that? It doesn't make any sense to our mind. And Lord Brahma also had this problem when he was talking to Krishna after stealing the boys and the calves. And he said, how is it that I'm within your abdomen, and yet I'm talking to you outside? And Lord Brahma explains this in his prayers, Eko Pisora Chaitam Jagadanda Koti Yat Chaktirasti Jagadanda Chayagananta Antantarasta Panamana Chayantarastam Govindamani Purushantam Ahampujami. That within the Lord is the universe, and then the Lord himself is in every atom. So that means within every atom is the whole universe. How is that possible? It doesn't make any sense to us, bound as we are within space and time. So space and time, which are also part of the illusions, they constrict our thinking, and we think that everything has to be like that within material space and time. And therefore people think of the absolute has to be just something sort of vague, just some existent light or energy, without form, without personality, without activities. So of course, the absolute truth can only be understood ultimately through revelation. And it can never be fully understood. Even Krishna is always expanding his understanding of himself. Krishna in his form of Anantasesha, he's going on for thousands of years with thousands of mouths describing himself. And he can't finish the description. And Prabhupada said, Krishna knows himself, and then he expands, and then there's more to know. That God also likes curiosity and learning. He's not static. So if the greatest of all, Brahma, the absolute truth, is always knowing more about himself and never coming to the end of describing himself, then what can we creatures bound by space and time and covered by ignorance understand? How is it possible? We can't. We can understand, however, by revelation. And how does revelation come? Just like here, jnanam vishuddham satyam. Jnanam, to have knowledge, vishuddham, of the purest, satyam, truth. And Prabhupada relates this to the first verse of the Bhagavatam, satyam param dhimahi, satyam, truth, param, supreme, dhimahi, I meditate upon. So the way that we can actually understand the truth, the only way we can understand the truth, is by experiencing it. Pratyaksha bhagavam dharmam susukham kartamavayam. We have to have a direct experience of the truth. How do we get a direct experience of the truth? We meditate on the truth, even without realization. And by meditating on the truth without realization, just using the mind, then Krishna is pleased, and he reveals. So this is very nicely explained in many places. It's nicely explained in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam didami buriyogam tam yena mam payanti te. Tesham evam kampartam aham agyanam jamitamaha nasayam yatma bhava sto gyanadi pain abashvatam. that if you serve Krishna with love, that he becomes pleased and he lights up the heart and shows himself. And that's basically our process of bhakti in a nutshell. That I try to serve Krishna with whatever love and affection I can get by hearing these descriptions from the Shastra. Even though I, just hearing them from the Shastra, they may remain on the mental, intellectual platform. But as Lord Kapila Dev explains, one uses the mind as a hook to capture the Lord, and then the Lord reveals beyond the mind. So by meditating on these dhimini, by meditating on these, not that I can force the Absolute Truth, but I can attract him, he can become interested. If someone's thinking about me with love, I become interested in them. That's natural. It's just natural. If somebody is trying to do good for me and thinking about me and caring about me, then I naturally want to reciprocate with them. And Krishna already wants to reciprocate with us. He's actually just waiting for us to be interested in him. And then the question comes, well, if I have to start out without realization, if I have to start out without experience, then how do I know on what to meditate? And therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains here that one has to approach someone who knows. As he says, the spiritual master is actually seeing Krishna. And he quotes, Ganinas tattva darshinaha, tattva the truth, darshinaha, to see. So we get guidance from those who actually have experience. I mean, even materially speaking, this is true. If I want to go to a foreign country, I have to take, or even to another part of town where I haven't been, I have to take guidance from someone who has been there, from somebody who knows. And then by following their instruction, I will also have that experience. So the Shastras are the words either of God himself or of those who have seen him. So either they're Krishna's direct words or they're words of people like Jad Bharata who have seen Krishna. And then we understand how to live the Shastras through the examples of the sadhus who are also experiencing Krishna and through the instructions of Guru who has seen Krishna. And therefore we can meditate in such a way, even with the mind, even with the senses, that it will attract the reality to manifest in our heart. And then we will see reality and truth. And until we factually experience reality, these descriptions of how the Absolute Truth can be non-dual and yet a person remain simply mysterious to us. They remain simply something that sounds wonderful, but that we really can't imagine. So if we want to have not imagination, if we want to have experience, if we want to also be tattva darshinaha, if we want to actually see the truth, then we need to make the effort to meditate on Krishna as we see him in the deity form, as we hear him in his name, as we hear the descriptions in the scriptures. So when we read these descriptions, to make an effort throughout the day, let me meditate on the qualities of God. Let me meditate on the name of God. Let me meditate on the form of God. Let me use my mind and my senses, especially the tongue. Atasri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Brahmandriya Seva Mukhe Vijivado Swayam Evas Parapchaha. That although it's not possible with our material senses and material mind to realize Krishna, if we start especially with speaking and eating, and then Krishna will be pleased and he will show himself to us a little by little. And at one point he will come and manifest before us. So questions, comments? Was I speaking slowly and clearly enough that you could all follow my English? Questions, comments, additions? Other thoughts? Yes? Please. Yes, go ahead.
Everything is interesting.
Do you have anything you want to say? You're thinking those things. Anything at all? No? Okay, thank you. All rise to Shiva Prabhupada.